now.
The Scott Williams Show continues
on Dublin's Q102.
Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cents.
Yes, 850-6597 is our number on the phone. 57102, just 20 cent on the text. You can email me, Scott, with two T's at Q102.ie. Follow us on Twitter at Q102SWShow and Facebook.com. Look for Dublin's Q102. Dermot Jewell is here in studio with me. We are dealing with consumer problems all the way.
Good evening, Scott. How are you?
That's what he does for a living. Yes. I'm just thinking, we only do it one day a week. Dermot does it every day of the week at the Consumers Association of Ireland. Dealing with problems, that is. Question, though, is always, at the moment, Dermot, all questions are to do with the ability to pay or the inability to pay, whatever is going
on. Yes.
I just wanted to focus for a moment on the whole back-to-school situation. Do you shop around for your child's school uniform, or are you forced to buy it from a particular shop?
But yeah, she generally has a shop in the one shop for the specific uniform she needs.
I think we all should have school uniforms, but you should shop around, not just in the one shop. I don't have any kids, but if I did, I would shop around. The cheaper, the better.
That's all down to the missus, but I know we do shop around, yeah. Definitely, Marks and Spencer's are great for that.
I have to go to a particular shop because the school uniform can't be bought anywhere else. I think I should be allowed to shop around to get better value.
Yeah, it's all about trying to find the best value for money, but sometimes you can't, sometimes you have to buy different parts of the uniforms in specific shops.
Now, Dermot, there's a lot of people who are kind of jammed like that, where there's one school I know, I was talking to some parents, and they're explaining to me that there's a new uniform. Well, actually, first of all, the girl concerned has grown over the summer.
Yes, of course.
She was. But they have to go to one shop somewhere open, somewhere like Parkgate Street, but they can't go to a department store, chain store, and buy. It's a particular shade of whatever colour.
Absolutely.
Only sold in this particular shop. And a suggestion we had during the week from one of the listeners actually was that we might end up with a regulation navy blue jumper for boys and girls, regulation grey trousers for boys or girls, and skirts for girls or boys if they want them. And that could be distinguished school by school by just putting the crest on to the standard issue. Would you be in favour of something like that?
Well, that's an interesting point. And the other interesting side to that is the crest can cost an arm and a leg as well, but leaving that aside,
I'm just trying to get
could
to the,
catch on.
I'm trying to figure out what is actually costing the money here. So you reckon it's the school crest?
Well, the crest, I mean, it's like everything else. If you determine that there's going to be a standard, that's fine. Mm. Once you veer away from the standard, whatever it is, if you want a particular shoe, if you want a particular belt on the skirt of the trousers, if you want a braiding, for example, just to discern it.
Braiding is big money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where the money is.
Well, I was speaking to a programme last week to a mother of two, and she was explaining that she wishes there was a uniform in her little fella's school, because she said there isn't, and it's like a fashion parade. Boys will be boys, and they put the knees out of expensive gear. But I was saying, why does she buy such expensive gear for her little boy in the first place?
Absolutely. Mm. This is it. Because there is some really, really good value around for school uniforms. And as you say, a kind of a good grey trouser, or charcoal, whatever, and the same with skirts. So it is changing, and it's moved on a whole lot away from where we were.
Mm.
I suppose one of the other sides to it, of course, as well, is that it does need on the groups where they're dictated to, if you like, this is the uniform, you can only go there to get it. This has been the way for many, many years, and that's where I think parent groups or parent associations need to move forward.
I think it's high time that PA should approach the board of management to say, hello, we'd like a change on this. But of course, this whole thing about the old school crest and the school blazer, you know.
Absolutely.
Certain schools, which I cannot name for reasons to do with my safety. But they seem to be a great store on them. The number here is 850-6597. The text is 57102 for just 20 cent. And it's consumer queries all the way with Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland. And Sirik from Drogheda is first up. Hello, Sirik.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Now, you've an observation or question about your mobile reception.
I do, yes. I mean, I live in Drogheda, and I've kind of got a Vodafone post-pay phone, and I pay around €60 a month. Yeah, 60 plus, I think.
Yeah.
They have a 400-minute package, and it's, I think, 60 or 65 thereabouts, right? So I've had this for over 4 years, and the problem is that the level of service in Drogheda and the level of service you get in Dublin, because I work in Dublin all day and I'm in Drogheda in the evenings because I live there, So the level of service is different. I mean, you know, when I'm at home, I kind of, when I try to make a call, my phone hangs up 3 or 4 times.
Right.
And when I'm in Dublin, I mean, the only proof I have to justify that the level of service in Dublin and in Drogheda, or as you say, when you go outside of Dublin, is different is
okay. So
only by when I make my calls.
When you make your calls. So the question then, sir, for Dermot is that you get an excellent service in Dublin, but yet when you go home to Drogheda, you don't get as good a service. So
yeah,
why should you?
The question is why? Well, is there any law in the sense that, you know, I'm paying the same package as, or same money as anybody else on the same package, but yet they get a good coverage in Dublin, and I don't and in Drogheda. So, and it applies across the board. I mean, you know, it applies across the board in telephony, say, for example, broadband services as well. I mean, I live in Drogheda, and I don't have NGB 8 meg broadband, while somebody in Dublin would be on a lot more advanced package.
So should there be a cheaper price for Drogheda or Wicklow?
I mean, the companies decide how to progress their services. Like when a new technology comes in, obviously they target the mass market and they go apply that in Dublin first, and then they move on further. But sometimes they might not. Like, you know, I mean,
understand that, Circuit. Now the reality is that as you say, the companies plan their charges, their tariffs, their fees, their packages according to what I suppose their general level of service, and they would argue that in most areas, at most times the service is good. But you obviously have one problem where you live. It's the area that you're living in, and you're not getting the boost. And as a result, as you say, you're dropping calls, etc. So what you need to do are two things. First of all, is there a law? No, there's not. But there is reason. And that's where, if you go to the Comreg website, that's the regulator, COMREG, you can check there exactly what the signal is in your area. You just go to the website, key it in, and it'll show you whether it's up or it's down. And with that information, you can go to your provider and say to them, look, I'm looking for some element of either a booster or something that can be installed in my home that will boost the signal for me, or you and I need to talk about getting some sort of a couple of bob off each month, because it works everywhere else, but it's not good at home. But outside of that, there's not a lot you can do.
Yeah, nothing you can do, sir.
I mean, it applies, I mean, not just to me. I mean, you know, it applies.
No, it applies to
all over the place.
For example, 3G services would be a great example where, you know, I mean, you can instantly see that the 3G coverage in Dublin would be great, but the 3G coverage in Drogheda or the suburbs would, I mean, if you had broadband on 3G, which Vodafone sells you, like, you know, through a USB stick, I mean, it doesn't work. But they have a clause. They're very clever. They have a clause saying, okay, the service is €20. You can try it out for 15 days or a month for free. If it doesn't work for you, we don't charge you. Return us the USB dongle, and there you go. You don't have any contract. So they're very clever. You know what I mean? But obviously, it'll work for people in Dublin because that's what they're targeting. So you know, there is no general.
Sir, comreg.ie, check it out, and you'll see the relative signal strengths in Drogheda for all of the mobile operators, and you can make your own informed decision whether you're going to stay with your operator or make the switch.
Okay, cool.
This is it.
Based on what you need. Thank you very much, sir. Okay. There we are, sir, there in Drogheda. 850-6597 is our number, and this is Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Well, Catherine, that's our pleasure. Catherine Dermot bought a remote control pedal car for her 2-year-old son on the 4th of July, Independence Day. However, it's never worked properly, she said. She was able to cancel the payment through her PayPal, but they want her to send the car back. This would cost €40, and the company won't pay it. Have I got that right, Catherine?
That's correct. Very correct.
And you don't want to pay the €40?
Well, I don't think I should have. You see,
it's worse than that, Dermot. She doesn't think she should pay. Not only does she not want to pay it, she feels she shouldn't have to pay it.
Quite right.
Is that right, Catherine?
That's true.
Good for you.
So where is Catherine here legally?
And Catherine, can you tell me this? Did you purchase this in the EU?
Of course, in the UK.
In the UK, yeah, that's grand. Oh, okay,
like
sort
that,
of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, just to explain, the regulation is very, very clear, and it's an EU regulation. And bottom line, if you purchase something on the internet, as opposed to the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, your rights are a little different. But most importantly, if you buy something that's not of merchantable quality, that doesn't work, and you've already, you definitely have your refund, yes?
No, we rang up PayPal, and they, you had to submit and everything gone through.
Yeah.
But when it first didn't work, I got onto the company itself, and the guy that owns it said to me, you know, there's only ever one or two things that go wrong with these cars. So obviously he had loads of people on him before. So he said, it's only a little engine. Now, it was my neighbour's. He had one as well. And his one is grand. So when I seen his, you know, I wanted one for my son. So he came in, he sent us a part, and he told them how to fit it. It was easy.
Right.
But it still hasn't worked.
Okay.
So the only way he's communicating with me now is through email. Because they wouldn't answer for a week or two after that, after fitting the other part. But he's just saying to me, send me other parts. There's no point, because I can't keep commenting.
No, absolutely. You're right. You're right.
You know, my partner and my next door neighbours keep fitting parts.
Well, so look, I tell you what. You just deal directly with PayPal from now on.
Yeah.
And get in touch with PayPal and tell them that, you can tell them you're speaking to ourselves, Scott and myself, but that we've given you the clear advice that under the terms of the distance selling directive.
Oh, let's get a note of that. The distance selling
directive. It's an EU directive for trading online. That under those terms, you want your money refunded in relation to the product, and B, under the terms of the directive, it's up to the retailer to provide for the postal charges, to have
it
returned
exactly
to them.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And when I got onto PayPal, they explained, and they said, yeah, we get your money back.
Yeah.
You know, this has gone on since this, as I said, it's July.
Well, you're covered now, Catherine.
They told me that I'd have to send the car back in order to get me money.
Distance directive, there you are.
Well, I know where they're coming from, but distance selling, you will make that arrangement as soon as you receive the money from the retailer. No problem.
There you go.
Yeah. They're obliged to pay for the car.
They are indeed.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, they are.
Oh, that's
so
brilliant.
You were dead right, Catherine. You felt you shouldn't have to, and Dermot says you don't have to.
So I went with my gut instinct.
Good for you, Catherine.
Just like a catty.
Here we are. Take care, Catherine.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. So 850-6597 is our number. Dermot Dooley is here in studio doing consumer problems. And Declan's in Temple Oak. Hello, Declan.
Hi, how you doing?
Declan insured his car in September last year, Dermot. He received the insurance cert, but no other documentation. What other documentation were you hoping for?
Well, a policy document.
Oh, yeah, sorry, of course you were. Breakdown cover was included. His car broke down in July. This is just a few weeks ago, isn't it?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, I tried to call the underwriter, but nobody answered the phone. He had the car recovered at a cost of €181.50. The insurance company now say they won't cover any of that, as he made his own arrangements. Have there been any further developments with them, Declan?
Well, I wrote to the broker, which was insure.ie, and they said, oh yeah, you should be covered, but we'll check it with the underwriter. So then they said, well, no, sorry, the underwriter said that under the terms and conditions, you have to call them first. But since I didn't have the number when the car broke down, I had to make my own arrangements. I tried calling them from just whatever their normal number is, but there was no answer. So I had to have the car recovered, made my own arrangements, got the bill, and I called them the following day. So insure.ie said, oh, well, maybe you will be covered. We'll talk to them. But then they just came back and said, no, sorry. So I put the whole case in writing to insure.ie, and because I didn't have a postal address for the underwriter, and then I got a letter back from insure.ie enclosing a response from the underwriter, more or less saying under the clause, whatever it was, you're not covered.
Dermot, what can we do for Declan?
The difficulty here is that you mentioned the policy document, for example, because you're trading, you're insuring online. They would expect you to read the policy document online, which is very frustrating. Believe you me, I understand. You've taken every opportunity to try to negotiate with them, to liaise with them. Have you even, Declan, have you even asked them would they contribute something towards your costs?
So I said to them, look, you know, I understand that you probably have a special deal with the towing company, and they do actually do work with this particular towing company. So I said, like, even if you don't cover the full cost, you know, would you consider making sort of a contribution towards it?
Right.
And they just said no.
Okay, well,
just
look,
no.
to all intents and purposes, and in reality, you've exhausted every opportunity and every avenue that you can go to. There's only one left, and I do recommend that you go to it. And the reason I'm telling you to go is that you do have an insurance policy. You did pay for cover, and you're entitled to some level of cover, I would have thought. But that said, I'm only surmising here. I would have thought they would have, and hoped they'd have met you midway in some shape or form.
Well, so, that's what I was hoping for, too.
Yeah.
You know?
So can I suggest to you that you go to the website of the Financial Services Ombudsman and fill out again your detailed form and submit it to them to see if they will take it's free, submit it to them to see if they will take on and investigate your case, because it's worth it. There's nothing to be lost, and as I say, the fact that you paid for something and your only slip up was that you didn't ring a particular number at the time, I would have still thought you'd be entitled to something, but It's worth trying, Declan. You have nothing else to lose at this stage.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Declan.
Okay, cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye. Declan there in Templeogue. By email, I'm looking for some advice. It's motor again, Dermot. We purchased a car in Jano 7 from Opel under the 50-50 scheme. The total cost of the car was $29,000, to which we contributed a deposit trade-in of $15,570. There's now an outstanding balance of $7,200. Due to my financial circumstances and the fact that my wife lost her job, we wrote to the bank and explained our situation, to which they replied that the monthly instalments of €340 must be paid or we risk having the car repossessed. We then explained that we could no longer afford this, and so we luckily had no option but to surrender the car to them under the half rule. Now, they are now saying that they would accept the car back, but only with a payment of $5,200. We don't know where we stand anymore, so appreciate any advice that you could give us. That's Brendan and Joanna Smith.
Okay, that's a big problem.
Well, I don't know what
problem.
Sort of a... Was this a lease deal? Was it HP? Was it contract hire? What was it? What was the...
Originally, it sounded like HP, because they said, you know, you have to give us back the car.
Yeah.
But then the fact that they're looking for 5.2.
Yeah, but if you've gone over the halfway point, though...
Exactly. But if you want them to take back the car... You can do that under HP, but the fact that they're looking for money is odd in the extreme.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was going to suggest, and there's no harm in just teasing this out. When you go through when you are dealing with HP, and you under whatever circumstances return the property to them, you do need to bear in mind that let's take this classic example: $7,200 outstanding. They will take whatever it is back, and they'll sell it.
Yeah,
but it is not their goal to get the very best price under the planet. They'll just want to sell it, and whatever's left, you still owe.
Yeah,
and I get the impression this seems to be.
But the account here has a balance of $7,200.
Yes.
I mean, as Joanna laid it out there, they went through all the rigmaroles and all the rest of it. They gave back the car, but then they said, "Dear sirs, we'd like $5,200 plus." That means the car is valued at $2,000.
That seems to be it. That's what they're saying.
It was $29,000 in 2007. We contributed a deposit trade in 15,570. So can that be right, Dermot? It doesn't sound.
Nothing would surprise me in the way these things go.
So where do you go with this then?
What I would suggest, and there's only two things you can do. One is take a loan, another loan under very different terms. In other words, take a loan of 7,200, hang on to your car, take a loan for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, at a sum you can afford. Maybe a credit union loan.
Give them their money.
And give them their money, hang on to your car, and don't lose out. If you really, really, really have got a really, really big problem in this regard, then contact MABS and ask them, can they help you and give you some guidance on who to approach? Because, again, you and I, Scott, are dealing at a bit of a distance with this. We don't know the company.
We don't know the ins and outs. Yeah.
And that's why I'm suggesting MABS, so that it doesn't just die and get cold. Get them to help you, who you should follow up with in the right order, is the way I'll put it. But could I suggest to you really that the road to go and the route to go is to try to get a loan to cover that balance in some shape or form. Now, if you're telling me that, look, I'm a bad risk, whatever, I just told you my wife lost her job, I appreciate that, but credit unions are far more amiable. If you do owe them some money, and I mean the credit union, go and talk to them, tell them what's happened, and see what they
and
say.
And see if they can help you out. That's all that we can say, Joanna. But anyway, keep us posted on how that one works out. You're on the Scott Williams Show on Dublin's Q102 doing consumer queries, as we do every Monday, with Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive at the Consumers Association of Ireland. And Rose is in Clonshock. Hello, Rose.
Hello, Scott. Good evening.
Now, you have a problem with bills, Rose.
I have indeed, yeah, Scott.
Tell us the story there.
I received an aircon bill last week, and I opened it, and it said pay me due immediately. And it was 70-odd euro over what I should have paid, like. So I just took no heed of it for the moment, and went back to the letter about 10 minutes later, and rang aircon. Now, got on to a very bad telephonist, very bad, kept interrupting me. And she was like a politician, wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah.
And
we know them.
Yeah. Then it turns out they owe me 39 euro in credit. I was 39 euro in credit, but yet they were demanding 70 odd euro of right. me.
Is that where it still sits, Rose, is it?
No. What happened was, I was asking all these questions. I speak to a supervisor, no, not available. And I'm just trying to get poor people wired to the fact this is this whole time with aircon. And I have had two previous times with electricity that I've been overcharging my bill. Now, to get to the point, they don't give you back your money, right? They give you credit. Now, if I've overpaid my bill, which I've always done, I've never been in trouble because I am very handy with my money. I know what I'm doing every week. And they're not giving me back my money in cash.
Right.
They're giving me back my money in credit.
In a credit, yeah.
But I don't want my money in credit. Okay,
so,
my money.
So, so we're quite clear about it, Rose. That's the nature of your problem. You want your money in brass money, the way you paid it, rather than a credit on your account.
Exactly,
Dermot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, Rose, you're entitled to your money back. Your difficulty, and believe you me, I think this will be echoed across the country by many people who tried to deal with Aircom on a number of occasions, myself included. It's not easy because, as you say, you've got to speak to all sorts of different people. It's very slow. And then even when they do say it, they say, right, we'll return it in a month, at which point you have a bill anyway. So can I just suggest to you, Rose, in all honesty, stop overpaying them.
Take the credit.
Take the credit and just give yourself and your head some peace.
Rose.
It's not worth it, Rose. It's just not.
Take the credit, Rose.
Okie doke.
Because I don't want you stressed anymore. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's just, honest to God, Rose, it is just not worth it.
Well, listen, Scott, I'm on an invalidity pension, right? Hmm. And I just go down, I have a special scooter. And I go down each week and I pay £50 on my ESP because in my day you hadn't got ESP.
I know.
And I always make sure I do it.
Yeah, but when you get the credit, just put in less every week and
Sorry, but I'm trying to get over to your listeners is check your bill. Double check your bill.
Good advice. Yeah.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Because we are, the big man out there is also taking it off us. Never mind the bankers. ESP, which I've been a customer of for 38 years. And I've never failed to pay a bill. I send me demanding letters. Now, if I was a woman, which I have a heart problem, and I'm a stroke, I'm not a victim, I'm a survivor. But they're sending me intimidating letters. Now, due, pay immediately. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yes. Of course we do.
So that's the advice, and you're hearing it there from somebody right at the coalface. Dermot said it too many a time, Rose. Check and then double check your bill. Anyway, that's our advice to you, Rose. Take the credit now. All
right, Rose.
Good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So check and double check, Dermot.
Oh, absolutely.
Is the one. The phone number is 850-6597. Dermot Jewell is the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland. And as such, he knows the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act of 1980 by rote. You know, he can recite it. Bit like the creed all the way through. So whatever your problem is, if it's a thing like that with Rose or something else, Dermot's here to help you.